News Talk 1340, KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell, Rochester Today. It's our Rochester History Program. Once a month, Alan Calavano, John Creasel, stop by the KROC AM studio, and we talk about our community and some of the historical aspects of our community. Those are no longer here and those that we are trying to save. And, of course, that would be a hot topic today, and we'll get more into that in just a few minutes. But I promised Alan that we would take a few minutes to talk about an event that's coming up. And it's the men's chorus, if I remember correctly, Alan.
The Rochester Male Chorus is celebrating their 85th anniversary this year. They were formed in 1930.
Wow.
And we're celebrating by hosting a big sing, it's called, on April 11th, which is a Saturday. And there will be advertising. There already is in the PB, and there will be on this station. That's in the works. But basically what it is, there'll be about 10 or 11 other choruses. Most of the choruses will perform solo numbers, and then there'll also be mass sing numbers. Will there be 300 guys all singing at one time? So it should be quite an event. We haven't done it here in Rochester since 10 years ago, which was, our 75th anniversary. And I just would encourage people to hold that date, April 11th, at the auditorium, actually in the arena, and look for all the advertising and listen to the plugs here on KROC.
We will be reminding you as the date grows closer, but that's amazing, that many people all together at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of a kick. It's a lot of fun.
Well,
can you reflect, Alan, at all on some of the tunes that you're going to be singing?
Oh, geez, right off the top of my head, John, I don't remember, but it's mostly pop music, Broadway music, some light classic music, some gospel music.
Are you the baritone?
I am a baritone.
You are?
Yes,
I am a baritone.
Oh, well, something sounds like not to miss.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Like I said, we haven't done it for 10 years. They do it each year at a different location, but this is the first time in 10 years we've done it here in Rochester.
Wow, okay. So April 11th at the Mayo Civic Center?
Yes.
And stay tuned. More details to come.
Right.
Excellent. We'll take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the Chateau Theater, which is the big news story today, a news conference, a big event out of the Peace Plaza at noon today to make an announcement, and we might as well hint at what that announcement is in just a moment. Alan Calvano, John Creasel in the studio. It's 58 in the downtown at KROC AM. It's brought to you by the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine. Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Center offers comprehensive sports medicine services. Discover their state-of-the-art facility at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Mayo Clinic is changing your game. Today it's going to get really warm for this time of the year, near 70 for a high, and then a pretty sharp cool-off tonight down to about 30 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high around 45 degrees. Mid-20s Tuesday night, and then chance of some scattered rain showers on Wednesday with a high around 45 degrees. We should warm into the 50s on Thursday and Friday, right around 50. And then on Saturday, still partly cloudy skies and a high of about 43 degrees. In Rochester right now, some a little bit of sunshine, and it is 58 at KROC AM. It's 16 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. Our Rochester History Program on Rochester Today with Alan Calavano and John Creasel. And as we mentioned going into the break, an event will take place at the Peace Plaza at noon today. The Lieutenant Governor will be here. All sorts of bigwigs from the Mayo Clinic will be on hand, along with city officials. And we might as well let the cat out of the bag. I have not seen the official release yet, but from sources within the community, it will be the purchase of the Chateau Theater with both, as I understand it, city funding and Mayo Clinic assistance. And then the next step is going to be to decide what to do with this historic building. And maybe that's what we could talk about today, because this has got to be a celebration, John, right? John Creasel?
Yes. For those of you that have been around here, the initial dialogue started to save this facility from its demolition. And about 1978, 1979, that's when it was first endangered and came moments away from its demolition. That discussion also went on to, in 1970 or 1989 yep. with another rebirth, another second tier of discussion with proposals as to what to do with it and so forth and so on. The tragedy is back then we could have acquired the whole facility for about $450,000 right. before it had any change done to it. We do thank Gushifolius in recognizing what this facility could be used for, and that was a, I'm going to call it a inside gathering space. So okay. I really feel as though that what's taken place today is that along with our outside consultants, the citizens of Rochester have really pushed this forward in expressing themselves to the people of the city of Rochester, Mayo Clinic and others, that this place is a jewel. It was a jewel in 1927 and continues to be a jewel, and we need a inside gathering space, and it's right now is in a perfect location to do so.
It's
so
the ideal location.
Ideal location. Hopefully it can be that performing arts center. It can be a place for seminars. It can be a place for weddings. It can be a place for, heaven forbid, showing movies. And that we can have like other communities have. I mean, Twin Cities has got the restored facilities up there. And I think it's a reason for people to come to this community. I don't think the other proposals thus far would be such a catalyst as the Chateau Theater is.
All right, 282-1234 is our number if you'd like to chime in with your ideas for the... Thankfully, the future of this building, at least it appears that its demise is no longer under consideration, or at least a possibility for hopefully the long term. John, you came in today and you brought up 1979 when...
That's when I started the group. It was called the Worldwide Friends of the Chateau Theater.
Right.
You probably remember that very well.
I do.
The Wells Fargo... people, along with the city of Rochester, wanted it demolished for the new bank building. Well, forgive me, but I think if we're going to demolish anything today with the vision that we're looking into, maybe it's that building that should go in case we need an expansion onto the Chateau, which I hope we end up seeing, an expansion of the stage, maybe making it longer, wider, so that we can accommodate almost any venue that comes here.
It is a fantastic structure and a fantastic venue for those kind of events. And I look at, as you pointed out, what's going on, has happened to the Twin Cities with some of the historic theaters in Minneapolis particularly. And people who go to shows in those places do appreciate the architecture when they're in there. They love going to those venues.
Just think whether it's music or Prairie Home Companion or some traveling vaudeville shows. That is the place it should take place, unlike, you know, certainly the amenities of the Mayo Civic Auditorium are far different than looking up at the sky and seeing a cloud-making machine and the stars twinkle for you so that you can drift off into fantasy land.
282-1234 is our number. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Why don't you make it back into a movie theater? You'd be surprised how many patients who fly in here and don't have anything to do. And in between appointments, they could go to a movie. I wish you'd bring Barnes & Noble back, because they really like that, too. And this thing about performing arts, that there's some days you have them, some days you don't have them. Have something there that you have every day for patients. And let's not worry about the 35,000, 45,000 young people that are going to be coming in to work at the Mayo Clinic. They have enough things in Rochester. They have the Civic Theater if they want it. Patients can't go down to the Civic Theater during their breaks at the clinic. Give something for them.
We like your ideas. I'm going to throw this back at you. Why not let this, if we're going to acquire this as a performing arts center or some other similar venue, let's say for movies, why shouldn't this inside gathering space be open 24 hours a day?
Well,
we have volunteers. We could turn it into something, like you said, that the people that come here to visit this community have something to do beyond walking the skyways.
Exactly, and or the bars.
Right.
And another thing, too, is it was built for a theater, was it not?
Yes, it was initially as a vaudeville theater, and they had silent films. And by the way, I know how to get an organ back in there that used to come out of a out of the pits, so that we could have that music. Matter of fact, I know where the original organ is that came out of the Chateau Theater. Well, it was Wurlitzer organ that we could have there for venues.
Well, I'm 91, so I know what was there.
Oh, good, good. Well, I hope I ran into you sometimes at the movie house.
I'll run into you.
Were you there for the Gone with the Wind?
Yes,
that
Gone
was 1940.
Yep.
Oh, boy. I wasn't there in 1940, but I wanted to be.
1940, I was 16.
Oh, say, do you still have the brochure that was handed out?
No, we didn't save things, I guess, in those days.
Well, so if you want a copy of it, I've got one.
Probably went into our coal stove or our wood stove or something.
Sure.
So, the Gone with the Wind, obviously, a movie classic that has held up all these years and is still, to this day, one of the best sellers out there. It always shows up on the list.
Well, I'll hang up and let.
No, I want to ask you a question. When you went to this movie in 1940 at the Chateau Theater, was it a huge deal that day when you went to the movie theater?
Was it a huge deal? I mean, sure was.
Okay.
Tell us what you saw.
What like,
tell us what you saw.
Usually,
please.
When we go, well, that I can't. I'm not that smart.
Oh,
but
yes,
usually
sure.
We used to go to the movies on a Saturday. Usually on Saturday, unless there was a special movie like Gone with the Wind, but. But anyhow, I just hate to see it be made into something that is not going to be. Keep it the way it is. If patients come there and take a look at that ceiling, they love it.
If that's what you want, make sure that you write a letter to the editor, you call up your city council people, the mayor, and tell them what your wishes are, okay? That's how we're going to get it there.
And hopefully,
well, I hope we will, but usually it's cut and dried, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
I
what
don't
I've
think
seen
from what I've
so
heard,
far, but
from
it
what
might
I've
be different.
I've heard on this, they certainly want suggestions from the public. They're looking for ideas and what to do with this, because there's going to be a significant civic investment in this structure to keep it going, and I think there's a real interest in making sure it's done right.
Well, I'll get all my friends and we'll sign a petition.
There you go.
Okay, back in 79, we had 8,000 people sign it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
For your interest. Bye-bye.
Bye. The movie theater part of it.
It's a no-brainer.
Well, you wonder if you could do a, just throwing ideas out
matinees.
Well, with the technology you have today, and you could do a convertible type situation where a screen comes down and you could use it for movies.
Sure.
And then when you have another event, the screen would come up and it would expose some sort of stage. And,
sure.
And I don't know.
It's all possible. I mean, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. They're doing it up in Minneapolis and St. Paul. They're doing it in Red Wing. They're doing it in Austin. We can look at their economic model, we can learn from it, and we can utilize what they've done moving things forward here.
Sure.
If we're willing to humble ourselves and ask them how to do it right.
Alan, did you ever get to go see a movie at the Chateau before it shut down as a movie theater?
I can't honestly remember. I must have, because I remember it being very pretty inside.
Okay. The last movie I saw there, honest to goodness, was Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman.
Really?
And I think that would have been late 70s at that point.
I think it shut down, was it in 77, 78? I think.
As a theater. Yeah.
As a theater.
I know that was one of the last movies that was.
Now, remember, I tested your memory the other day. What kind of soda could you get there that was only offered two places in Rochester? If anybody gets that, I'll buy you a free pizza.
Okay, I'm not.
Why don't you call in?
Because I know the answer.
No. It was in two places. They served it at Huey's Cigar Store, and they served it in the Chateau Theater.
282-1234. Before we take calls in the news break, do you want to talk about these buttons that you made up?
Sure. Kevin Lunn and myself, my wife Judy initially did the design for this button back in 1979. And Kevin and I, in preparing to talk with the public at the dialogue coming up on Thursday with the Pulse Bulletin is sponsoring, we made up 1,000 of these buttons. And this button says, "Save Me, Gone with the Wind." It's the same one that was issued in 1979. And they will be available under certain circumstances. The first two buttons are going to Andy and Alan, because I know they'll take the pledge. Basically, the pledge is turning this, when you have this button, it means that you support turning it back into a performing arts theater with multiple venues, not turn it into a food kiosk court. Let it be a public gathering space. So we will see many of you at the dialogue on Thursday, and we'll have buttons there at that affair. But there's going to be a pledge that you're going to have to take with it. So anyone you see wearing this button are part of the whole pledge that you have already taken.
You too. Secret handshake.
Secret handshake will be part of it.
2821234. Good morning. You're on KROC. Hi there. What's the name of the beverage?
Green River.
Yes.
Who is this?
Tom.
Tom. Ready. Okay. Okay. Well, all right, Kate, you come and see me, all
he
right?
He promised you a pizza.
He did.
Yeah, I'll
will
get
do.
You a pizza, Tommy.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Thanks see for the call. We can take some more. Well, apparently, the callers we have are interested in your pizza, but we'll see if they want to talk about it. Nope. They have hung up on the phone. The prize was already taken. I would love to have some people call in. I mean, we heard the movie theater idea, some visions of even the economics of this. I know, Austin, you mentioned Austin, the Paramount Theater.
Right.
That thing was darn. When I lived in Austin for about a year, that thing was. That's when the discussions were taking place as to how what to do with this thing.
Well, and then we've got the venue Crossings in Zumbrota. I mean, that has really been a catalyst for that particular community and the venue that comes there and the music that comes there. It's initially started, it was an aftermath of the Carnegie Library. Have you guys been up there?
Yeah, that's a cool place.
Yeah, it's very cool. So, I mean, it's a gathering place for all sorts of people that are interested in that type of expression that we can have here.
We'll take a break for news, and we'll be back. We can talk about other aspects of the history of Rochester as well, along with the Chateau Theater and the clock tower. That probably warrants some discussion as well. The clock was moved. It was moved out this past week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's in safe storage. That's all we can say for sure.
No, so where do people find the time now?
Cell phone.
The cell phone, yeah. Nobody wears. You get your Apple Watch, and you'll check it out. It's 58 in the downtown. Kim David's in the news center, and he is coming up next on KROC AM. News Talk 1340, KROC AM. It's 58 in downtown Rochester. John Creasel, Alan Calavano in the studio today. It's our Rochester History Show. And big development today, of course, dealing with the Chateau Theater. And a lot of folks had been worried that after Barnes & Noble's had moved out this past winter, that the future of that building was at risk. And apparently that risk has been alleviated in a major announcement coming at noon today concerning the community purchasing the Chateau Theater. And what we've been talking about is what to do, what should be done with that structure now. Now that it's been saved from the wrecking ball, at least the potential of the wrecking ball. 282-1234 is our number, and I know, John, you're a big proponent of it, and I know I am as well. I've always thought that if you could configure the inside of that thing with, you wouldn't even have to restore it back to its original seating arrangement as far as capacity is concerned to open up spaces for I don't know what that's the whole point here. Right now, it's a wide open possibilities, and that's what the committee needs to talk about. What would you like to see there?
We've got enough brain power out there. We have got a file going back to 1979 by the Ellerbe Company relative to the condition of its structure. There was also a very comprehensive report in 1989 that is in the hands of the city officials and the DMCC people relative to what's needed to enhance the facility. But like I'm just going to say briefly, let's go to other communities and have something parallel to that here.
I agree. And hopefully some folks will step forward with the knowledge to move forward with a way to market it as a... I'm seeing that these shows that come through town that are playing in some of these venues that are of, 700 people come to see them, and it seems to be of size of that kind of venue.
We've seen over these past few decades that there's people here from all over the world that are invited to play the Carolyn, okay? Now, Alan and I are aware of the other venues out there that people that play the theater organs. I mean, this is something we can really build around, that there could be people coming here. If we get the theater organ back in there, they would come for multiple venues, whether it's a vaudeville traveling show, seminars, places for, like I was mentioning a little bit earlier, people to get married in or celebrations.
Oh, yeah.
That place could be open 24 hours a day as a gathering place for the 1.5 million people that come here, you know.
Ellen, you've been silent over there in
Have
the
you
corner.
Taken the pledge, Ellen, with that button? Otherwise, I need it back.
I will. I guess I... You know, I haven't really been as involved as John has in the past attempts to save it, which were successful. Most of the theaters I'm thinking of that John's referring to are strictly theaters. I'm not sure how you can handle the seating as well as the open space. But I know you definitely need a bigger stage. That's one of the biggest drawbacks of the Chateau.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's too bad they can't punch out to the back, but I don't know if that's possible.
Oh, I think that's the Pappas family owns that ground. Yes.
I know it's a combination of Pappas and Trifolius, but
yes,
I don't know who
yes.
owns what.
I would say, let's look at it this way. The project that ultimately is going to happen with the help of Gus and the Pappas family, they want that package. They want it to be viable. They want mm-hmm. it to cash flow. So then how do you do it? Well, you enhance the jewel that's right next door.
Right.
So I'm sure that there can be a relationship that can be engaged in to acquire the necessary land needed to enhance that stage,
and
now is the time. Now is the time to do it.
Yep, time to talk about it, especially get the discussions going. Chateau Theater out there in play. Obviously, good news today. But last week we saw the clock dismantled and moved. Alan, I know you've been heavily involved in what's going on with the historic clock.
Well, yes and no. The architect for the fire department looked at the current tower and didn't think it was worth salvaging the tower. The clock is safe. Whether the tower could be adapted or not, I guess I don't know. Part of the thing we're running into is people are so involved with the Chateau and with the Civic Center renovation that it's really hard to get their attention.
Sure.
I guess I've succeeded to the extent, and I didn't have a hell of a lot to do with it, but I am convinced that the clock itself is safe. I have a lot of faith in the people that took it down, and they've saved the bell.
It won't
be the last
time.
Thanks, Jerry.
Now my concern is that it gets lost in storage like it did the last time. And, you know, out of sight, out of mind. That concerns me. I did push as hard as I knew how to try and get the fire department to commit to putting it back on the corner of Broadway and 6th Street, which is, to me, the most logical place to put it.
Seen as it was originally on the fire hall that was
right
near that location.
Well, there are two reasons. First off, that's close to where it started out, but also then I would hope the fire department would take possession of the clock. It would be theirs, and they'd make sure it got maintained. You know, otherwise it's kind of free-floating with no real ownership.
Can I throw out some ideas, Alan? Do you mind?
Well, I was going to, before I do that, I was thinking that one possibility would be to move the tower that's on First Avenue, that when it was over at the First National Bank drive-in.
Which is still there, yeah.
The architect was concerned that that's a brick structure, and it may not move very easily, besides which it's apparently owned by Mr. Trifolius, so I don't even know if it's available. I don't know if he has plans for that or not.
Well, what I wanted to throw in, and this discussion started a number of years ago, as you're aware of, Alan, with University of Minnesota Rochester. Now there's also potentially the same option with Gus Trifolius's project, namely to, let's say, place this clock in a place where a lot of people are going to show up as it relates to a transportation hub. You expand on this clock tower and you let it be a place as a bus stop, a place where you can park and ride your bicycle, rent bicycles, that it becomes an information kiosk as to letting people know what Rochester is about. Very easy to turn that into a public venue. I want to remind everybody that the bus stops that we have downtown there in the on 2nd Street, those are $1.5 million for those three. Would not have accomplished something such as this for far less money. So I'm just throwing out to you, we are going to need a place to collect people for to ride buses,
yep.
Place to rent bicycles and so forth. And I'm just throwing out, why not put this in a place where it can facilitate that as well as be the clock back in its glory. Alan, you were talking a little bit earlier. Maybe that is part of Gus's project.
Yeah, I mean, that's all possible, but it's so
out there right now.
Yeah, right. I can't even handle that.
Sure.
My only thought about the fire department is the fire department's there now.
You're right. Sure.
We don't want to keep on moving. But it is safe. That's all I can say for sure. It's safe.
It's safe.
Well, at least I'm told it's safe.
Well, we'll just try to once in a while remind people so we don't lose it in the shuffle either. That's the important thing. The other one that we kind of did not, I don't think we've ever talked about it on the air, but I know, John, that you're heavily involved in discussions about this, but the old amphitheater that used to be the centerpiece of what was called Mayo Park prior to the construction of the arena portion of the Mayo Civic Center.
It's still called Mayo Park. It's just a lot smaller.
Yeah. But when I was a kid, I remember when I was a kid, you would go down there and it was this magnificent
it actually had grass and trees.
It still is.
But it was a centerpiece, though.
It was a centerpiece. Primarily the citizens of Rochester, along with school children, collected money to have a facility. It started in 1915 with school children and monies to have the W.W. Mayo statue cast in bronze. And that's a facility that's owned by the public, not by the clinic. And this faced later in 1950 with amphitheater, when there was this facility that was built with the help of Furlough and the citizens of Rochester. That's what I want to stress, along with Sam Allen and I think it was Hap Postier and so many other people. You've got that brochure.
Yeah, even the owner of this radio station back in the day, Mr. Gentling was involved in that.
So if those of you out there that have not seen this amphitheater, it is a humbling experience. And almost brings you to tears if we want to pay attention to those that came before us and the tribute to the Mayo brothers and the tribute to this Mayo Medical Center that we now have. Go back there and see that space. Read what's written on it, because our thrust is going to be, along with this community, to get the Mayo brothers put back at that amphitheater, not inside the Mayo Civic Auditorium. Outside there where they should be. Otherwise, all of you are going to see the demise of the amphitheater and then be around and see its demolition.
And that would be a sad... In the day where the amphitheater is currently, as you said, the statues were both there, and there was a sidewalk that led all the way from the west side straight down, and there was trees...
Right.
Alongside. And
600 feet of trees.
And then the other statue of
Charlie, Will was there first, facing east, and then Charlie and Will looked at their father, and the alignment was perfect at one time all the way to see the Plumber Building. So that's how it was designed, that you would look all the way to the Plumber Building. And right now that has changed because I don't want to say adaptive reuse, because I don't look at that as adaptive reuse. Parkland is priceless. We can't bring it back to where it was, but we can bring Charlie and Will back
When I was mucking around out at the History Center a while back, I found a letter to the editor. People were resenting the fact that the Mayo Auditorium was in Mayo Park, that it was taking up grass and trees.
Oh, sure. Sam Allen fought that fight. Sam Allen was the attorney here in town that wrote the wishes of Dr. Charlie and Dr. Will for the gifting of the park. And you're absolutely correct. I was at that meeting when there was a discussion of the addition of taking more of Mayo Park, and no one stood with Sam Allen. I'm saying the people here in Rochester. So we keep on continuing to carve up that land. Right. Say goodbye to the front venue in front of the Mayo Civic Auditorium. Right. Because it's all going to go.
Well, that's a done deal. 282-1234 is our number. Good morning. You're on KROC.
I'm trying to figure out where that amphitheater is, number one.
Okay, have you...
Number two, is that still called the American Legion Hall?
I don't think so.
The American Legion built it.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. It was the American Legion, World War One veterans that put that... contributed greatly to that Mayo Civic Auditorium, and you are correct that there was a room there that was always supposed to stay for them That room is now gone. Nothing's forever. We could have that discussion as to how that all happened. Yeah. It's a big, big issue, and it just is just a thrill that you called
in. What happened to the plaques?
The plaques have been moved to the wrong location. I'd like to know how to get a hold of you if you would like to help us with getting.
I'll come down and see you sometime.
Okay, because we want to get the plaques back.
How about the amphitheater?
Okay,
where is that exactly?
If you go,
and I'll listen on radio.
Okay, that's if you go behind the Mayo Civic Auditorium. No, the arena. I'm sorry, the arena where they do the Down by the Riverside concert series.
Right.
And it is.
It's behind you.
You will see along the river behind you.
Right. Yeah, you will see some pink granite structure there. Go there for a lunch. Go there for a coffee. It's a calming place to be. Read what's written on the amphitheater, and realize that Charlie and Will that you'll see in front of the auditorium now stood on that piece of granite, facing their father, and that's what we're going to work on trying to bring back along with the plaques that you've made reference to.
Yeah, if you were to go over to Roscoe's and then go across the pedestrian bridge, you can't miss it at that point.
Yeah.
When you come across the pedestrian bridge. And there used to be the band shell back there, too.
Yeah, I'm surprised John hasn't been fighting for the band shell.
Well, the band shell
that's long gone.
Yeah, that's long gone. I mean, think of that outdoor venue, okay, as a gathering space, and we got rid of it.
That was back by the river,
yes.
Facing
right.
the auditorium.
And now we use it as a gathering space again, but we've shifted it
and
over to the other building.
That was one heck of a band shell, too. That was no tiny band shell.
No,
it was huge.
It was an incredible band shell.
That was a Harold Cook thing, I think.
Oh, that's right. Forgotten that.
And then the other thing that was there, this is far before my time, that's for darn sure, was the zoo was there.
The zoos. And then we had other statues. Say, by the way, if anybody out there knows where the other statues went, I think it was Lincoln. I can't remember. There's a Jefferson.
Really?
Lincoln and Washington.
Washington. This discussion has been going on for 50 years. What happened to those statues? Because they were a public asset. We've looked into the archives of Park and Rec, the city of Rochester. There's no mention as to where these statues went, and we want to try and get them returned. So if there's anybody out there that knows, let us know. I think the Civil War cannons that used to be there, I don't know if they were stolen or they were scrapped, but I can't imagine why they'd be scrapped. But there used to be Civil War cannons there as well. So these things are not forever, lest we forget. Thank you, Engage.
We have to take a break, though. We'll do that real quick, and we'll be back more with Alan Calavano, John Creasel in the studio, talking about Rochester history, the Chateau Theater, the Mayo Civic Center Park. I guess it's Mayo Park, I better call it, the amphitheater. And we've been talking about the old clock, too, that's been removed from the Mayo Civic Center location into storage. Back in just a moment on KROC AM.
Now, your Weather Eye forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
It should be a beautiful day today, a high near 70 degrees overnight, turning colder, I guess cooler would be a better way to put it, 30 for the low, and then tomorrow, partly cloudy skies and a high around 45 degrees. Clouds come in tomorrow night. We should dip into the mid-20s. The furnaces will kick back on. Chance of rain on Wednesday with a high in the mid-40s. We should warm up to about 50 Thursday with partly cloudy skies. On Friday, low 50s, and then back down into the low to mid-40s when we get to Saturday. Normal high for this time of the year, just as a reminder where we're at, is 38. And the normal low is 23 degrees. So we are enjoying some far warmer than normal temperatures. 58 right now in downtown Rochester at KROC AM. It's 6 minutes away from 11 o'clock. I'm Andy Brownell, along with Alan Calavano and John Creasel. We're talking about Rochester history. 282-1234 is our number if you want to chime in the last 5 minutes of the program. Ideas about the Mayo Civic Center, your memories of Mayo Park, and even ideas about the clock. We've thrown out a few of ideas here about the clock, and we do have a call, gentlemen, at 282-1234. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yes. I am Mary Beckman, and my mother's name is Mackie. And there was a cannon that was down there at the Soldiers Field. You know, there used to be two separate entrance routes. You'd go in to what became the main entrance of that armistice, that memorial.
Yes.
And my grandmother and my mother's family moved in from the farm, and they were the very last house on the right.
Hmm.
And then I even have a picture of my younger brother and my daughter standing by that cannon. And there was another one, too, that they had farther over, but I don't know where those came from, for sure.
That World War I cannon, if we're talking about the World War I German cannon, that was, you're correct, that was down at Mayo Park. We still have that. That's down by Soldiers Field, and that was brought here by the World War I veterans that started the American Legion here in town. Yes. Lest we forget. That one is still here.
And we have the one from the Persian Gulf War
as
well.
Yes, and that's down at the...
That's a Russian...
Close to the memorial down the mail, or the on Soldiers Field. So you can visit that. You can visit that cannon again. The cannon I made reference to before, we used to have two Civil War cannons with stacks of cannonballs, and nobody knows where they went along with the statues.
Well, and my Uncle Joe was in World War One,
Bless him so much. Yeah. did you know Ernie Moss at all, by chance?
He was part. I know the name, but I was born and raised here, but I haven't lived here all my life.
So the Mackey name, is that tied at all to the old furniture business?
No. This is the Irish, M-A-C-K-E-Y.
Oh, okay.
Donald Mackey, big family.
Irish celebration coming up.
Tomorrow's the big day, yeah.
Yeah, and Jim, they were cousins. There was two cousin families I was close to.
All right. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on the clock. There has been some conversation from the administration at the Mayo Civic Auditorium that it is very costly to take care of this clock, and that's one of the reasons to kind of dismiss it and throw it aside. That is not true. The volunteers that have been maintaining that clock have spent to date $300 in buying items that they needed. All the time has been volunteered. I think what came out of administration was the discussion of the initial restoration of it. That I think was it a gentleman from Austin, and there were some maybe a few.
I think it was Faribault.
Oh, Faribault, a few glitches that came along the way. So I think she was making reference to the initial cost of the restoration of the clock. And not the maintenance, because I think recently I have heard someplace that it was the maintenance of it almost an insurmountable task.
Well, part of the problem was they never had any money to do what really needed to be done. So they were kind of jerry-rigging everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an excellent job of keeping it running as best they could.
Well, Jerry Jerry and Ron, and who else was working on that, volunteering? Vettel and Ron Sigma. I think they were
of course, you had an inherent flaw, and then you had a four-faced clock that you could only see one face of.
Yes. Sure.
I mean, so it really wasn't a particularly good location for it, but at least it was saved.
When they put it into storage now, they've packed it away in a proper
I believe
way
so.
To do it. So
yeah, because Jerry works on a clock similar to that one in Pine Island, that he knows what he's doing.
Well, we'll just try to keep...
Hollis Feaster was the other one. Those were the three volunteers.
Okay.
Working on the clocks. 282-1234, we got a couple minutes left in the program. And, well, you know what, if we don't have any more calls, I'm going to throw it back to you, Alan, and remind folks of what's coming up on April 11th, another reminder.
April 11th is the Rochester Mill Chorus Big Sing celebrating their 85th anniversary, and I just made an arrangement to be on Rich Peterson's show early in the morning on April 8th, so we'll talk about it more then. But basically, hold the date April 11th. And come if you like male chorus singing.
And a PB Thursday forum coming up at the Rochester Public Library as to what to do with the Chateau Theater.
Okay, and later on today we'll have a video of the event at the Peace Plaza concerning the Chateau Theater. You can view on KROCAM.com.
Video.
How do you view it? Oh, on the website.
On our website.
Oh,
see,
you
gotta get people
trying to think how you could see a website over the radio.
you can like us on Facebook if you want to do that, Alan.
I will.
I want to see your face face to face.
We'll slip in one more call before the news break. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning. I'm sure enjoying your program.
Well, thank you.
I was 13 years old and a crossing guard on 14th Avenue and 6th Street by Falwell School.
Cool.
All of the schools did their own crossing guards. They had a pole with a stop sign on the end of it, a flag. And they were having trouble in the theaters. I don't remember what the trouble was, but it was a strike of some kind.
Uh-oh.
And they were letting stink bombs go off.
And that was at the chateau?
At the chateau, right.
That's an interesting story.
So we were supposed to keep our eyes open, and if we saw who did it, we were just supposed to point to them.
Oh, goodness.
And the
you didn't have a stun gun, huh?
Well, when my mother heard that I was going to do that, she went to the show with me.
Okay.
Well, can you imagine a bunch of 13- and 14-year-olds looking for a crook when there's a show going on?
Yeah, there must have been a...
Did you find the person that did it?
The bomber. No,
they never did.
They never did.
The stink bomber.
And I don't imagine you tried very hard either.
Well, the show was pretty good. I don't even remember what it was, but I was interested.
And you got a free movie out of it.
Thanks a lot.
Did you like that space at the chateau?
I loved it. The clouds and the stars in the in the sky.
That machine's still there, the cloud maker.
I always wanted to sit in the box seats, but they wouldn't let me.
No, they wouldn't let any of us up there.
Hopefully you'll have a chance to do that maybe again in the future.
Thanks for calling in. I appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's 11 o'clock already. We have to get to ABC News. 58 degrees at KROC AM Rochester.